Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
That's right, we can't do it alone. We need some help. We'd like to welcome everyone a happy New Year's. We wish you had a Merry Christmas and a great Kwanzaa. This is our first show back for the New Year 2021. And as you can tell, our theme today is a New Year and what a beginning. That's right, what a beginning. We're going to talk today about what's the beginning of the new year has been like to you and what's been going on around the world as relates to the beginning of this new year. We'd like to have your perspectives on this new year and the beginning of it. And you can do that by calling in at 818-337-0016. So, like always, Missing Pages of History Radio is a program dedicated to the underserved communities. We want to be the voice of the voiceless, and we'd like for you to join us and share with us and help us fill in our missing pages of history. So, right about now, again, we welcome everyone back to the New Year's, and we're going to start off like always. I'm going to tell you the agenda for the day, which entails a brief aspect of giving you something to think about, which we can talk or give you something to think about as we talk about and continue to talk about this concept of freedom. Then we're going to our little black mini facts with Susie. And as always, we have Brother Alex speaking to the community. He has a message for you today. following that, we will come in where we will focus on that thing, and this is at that time. We would like for you to join us and give your perspective on the various issues around the theme, which is a new year, what a beginning, and there are three areas we would like to focus on, but not necessarily limited to. Those, the so-called insurrection, if you want to describe it that way, of the Capitol recently in the U.S. and Washington, D.C., the new election with Joe Biden as the new U.S. president, and last but not least, the continuation of the coronavirus. Those are the nucleus ideas and topics we would like to discuss around, but not limited to, and we have encouraged the listening audience to call in and share their perspectives on what a beginning for the new year 2020. So right now, we can ask you to get your pen and piece of paper out, write down some things that we hope that we will inspire you and learn you more about the world today, and we're going to start off just giving you something to think about. And giving you something to think about, we can talk about again this concept of freedom, because freedom is a concept that man, since the beginning, been trying to define. Man from the beginning been fighting for, man from the beginning been trying to figure out how to implement and ensure they achieve and arrive at this concept that they call freedom. So we welcome you to, again, Mr. Page's History and give you something to think about. I'll just give you a general definition of freedom and what you think about it. And that definition is, and when we talk about the definition, we apply it in the context of a people. Not so much as an individual, but we'll say that freedom is having the ability to control the means and the necessities for life. Freedom is having the ability and mean to control those necessities for life. So what do you think about that? Think about that, and later on during the day, we'll have you to call in, and you can shine in on this particular question. So what we're going to do real quickly, we're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to give you some black mini facts, and after that, we'll have a message from the community, and then we'll open up to our listening audience. As we discuss the theme, a new year, and what a beginning, we'd like to know what's the beginning of your new year's like. Talk about what's going on in the world, around the world, as it relates to the beginning year 2021 and how it impacts on you on a daily basis. So at this point in time, we're going to a MPH break with music with a message, and when we come back, we can share with you some black mini facts. You are listening to The Voice of MPH, and we'll be right back. right. Learning to love yourself and love your people and love humanity is the greatest love of all. Welcome back to MPH Radio, and we're going to share something with you that we hope will aid in the process of re-loving ourselves. Right now, we'll go into our contributor, our member, and one of our hosts, Sister Susie, who has been doing an excellent job of sharing certain aspects of our history with us as we present to you MPH, Black Men in Fact, for today's program. Susie, Happy New Year, and welcome to MPH Radio.
Happy New Year to everyone, and today I'll be giving you 3 minute facts, and they will be on the Long Ranger, which is Bass Reeves, Shirley Chisholm, because of the recent election, and also the Home Security System by Murray Van Britten Brown. First, the Long Ranger was inspired by an African-American named Bass Reeves. Reeves had been born a slave but escaped west during the Civil War, where he lived in what was then known as Indian Territory. He eventually became a deputy U.S. Marshal, was a master of disguise, an expert marksman, had a Native American companion, and rode a silver horse. His story was not unique, however. In the 19th century, the Wild West drew enslaved blacks with the hope of freedom and wages. When the Civil War ended, free men came west with the hope of a better life where the demand for skilled labor was high. These African Americans made up at least a quarter of the legendary cowboys who lived dangerous lives facing weather, rattlesnakes, and outlaws while they slept under the stars driving cattle herds to market. While there was little formal segregation in frontier towns and a great deal of personal freedom, black cowboys were often expected to do more of the work and the roughest jobs compared to their white counterparts. Loyalty did develop between the cowboys on the drive, but the black cowboys were typically responsible for breaking the horses and being the first ones to cross flooded streams during cattle drives. In fact, it is believed that the term cowboy originated as a derogatory term used to describe black cowheads. And there you have a mini facts on Bass Reeves. The next one is Shirley Chisholm. Robert Golick was standing by the luggage carousel waiting for his baggage to arrive after he landed in Raleigh, North Carolina in 1972, when he was met with shock. There was no doubt those were his boxes, but someone had written all over them, "Go home, nigga." It was clear what was inside the boxes, brochures, and bumper stickers for Shirley Chisholm's presidential campaign, for which he had been hired as the student coordinator. That's how the campaign began, and it's told by the Smithsonian Magazine in 2016. That anonymous sign of hatred, even degrees removed from Shirley Chisholm herself, is proof of the kinds of language and insults that were being hurled at the candidate. Yet she let none of it shake her at all. As the first major party black American to run for president, she forged ahead fearlessly, running to represent all the people of the country equally, no matter how they viewed her. She announced at Brooklyn's Concord Baptist Church on January 25, 1972, when she declared her candidacy. There you have a mini fact about Shirley Chisholm. And last, I'd like to do Murray Van Britten Brown Home Security System, which she developed in 1966. Before security systems became a fixture in homes, an African-American nurse Mary Van Britten Braille devised an early security unit for her own home. She spent many nights at home alone in Queens, New York, where her husband was away, and felt unsafe with high rates of crime in her neighborhood. On top of that, police were unreliable and unresponsive. So she created a device that would help put her mind at ease. In 1966, Brown invented a system that used a camera that would slide into and look through four peepholes in her front door. The camera's view would then appear on a monitor in her home so she could survey and potentially unwanted guests. She added other features to the system, including a microphone to speak to anyone at the door, a button to unlock the door, and a button to contact the police. She and her husband took out a patent for the system in the same year, and they were awarded a patent 3 years later in 1969. Home security systems commonly used today took various elements from her design. There you have 3 mini facts for January the 23rd, 2021.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, for the mini facts, the answer and reading them. I was just saying to myself, wow. You know, that's saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. I'm saying that in the context of looking at how African people continue to create and develop and give to the world. And there are so little known about the creation and the development that we are made to humanity. This is why MPHs came into existence, to try to fill that void. And to fill that void, I'd like to right now bring in Brother Alex Joyner, who is our co-host today. And we'd like to welcome him to MPH Radio and wish him a happy New Year's. And what a beginning, Miss Alex, what a beginning. How are you doing today?
Mr. Lee, Happy New Year to all the listeners and to all the callers who will call in today. I pray that you had a good 2020, because 2021 sort of started on a good note for me, as one of the best elections in Georgia had ever happened, because we were able to turn the state blue. But in all that great effort and all the joyous and the gifts that were given and received and everything, and we turned around and had one of America's darkest days, and that was the insurrection up there at the Capitol. But when we look back, and history will say, where did you stand? Were you with the country, or were you with the terrorists? And what I mean by that is, we became naturalized citizens by the Constitution with the 14th Amendment. But before then, there was the Emancipation Proclamation, January 1st, 1863. So a lot of what happened at the Capitol began before, came afterwards, and is still deeply seated in a lot of Americans' hearts. So I would like to first, because it's a new year, and I had great anticipation for reading this, and I still want to do it, still freeing ourselves from bondage and slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation was preliminary, issued on September 22, 1862. It stipulated that if the Southern states did not cease their rebellion by January 1, 1863, then the proclamation would go into effect. When the rebel Confederate states did not yield, Lincoln issued the final Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863. Many of Lincoln's advisors, cabinet members, and congressmen did not support his ideas for the proclamation until the Union victory at Antietam, Maryland. 5 days after that battle was enough of a Union victory to strengthen the hopes of the North that continuing the war was necessary. The final proclamation only applied to the 10 southern states in rebellion and not the bordering states or the western territories at that time. This firm demonstration of executive power by a U.S. president at war would be enforced by his powers as commander-in-chief, that he put the question of freedom of all slaves would be maintained by the executive government of the United States. This caused other countries like England, Spain, France, who had abolished slavery decades before, to abandon any efforts to help the Southern States Rebellion as they held millions of people in bondage. This document would turn Lincoln's original view of not freeing one slave to save the Union, if he could, to freeing all the slaves in the Southern States to escape and flee to the North so they could help fight for their own freedom. The United States Colored Troops was created, and by the war's end, over 300,000 men, women, and children became troops, support personnel, and spies. These former slaves and free men served in the Army and the Navy and fought bravely in every battle until the war was over. They earned the respect of both the armies of the North and South as more than formidable soldiers on the battlefield. The Army kept the corpse of colored troops and called them Buffalo Soldiers until World War II. The proclamation also paved the way for the 13th Amendment, passed on December 6, 1865, which abolished slavery in the United States. As the war began, over 5 million persons of color were enslaved in the South. Once given their freedom, they began moving to the northern states, Canada, or the Western Territory, settling into these new cities and towns where they became successful and prosperous citizens. The 13th Amendment was ratified by most states by 1866. The proclamation was read on June 19, 1865 in Texas by the Union Army, later celebrated as Juneteenth Day by free persons. Texas did not ratify the 13th Amendment until February 18, 1870. Delaware on February 12, 1901, and Kentucky on March 18, 1976. Finally, the state of Mississippi ratified it after 148 years on February 7, 2013, to officially end slavery in the United States. The people of colored heroes who have rebelled against slavery and justice, such as Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and others, knew that the founding fathers and the nation's attitude about white privilege and the segregation of races was wrong. Never is one content in bondage or happy about their circumstances. It was wrong for slavery to have existed, and to the degree and length of time it survived in America. It is a shameful reminder that America was the worst of all nations as it boasted its freedoms to the world. Heralded as a savior of the Union, President Abraham Lincoln actually considered the Emancipation Proclamation to be the most important aspect of his legacy. I never in my life felt more certain that I was doing right than I do in signing this paper, he declared. If my name ever goes into history, it will be for this act, and my whole soul is in it. On March 15, 1965, President Lyndon Johnson spoke to the nation after Bloody Sunday, noting that the beating of the people exercising their rights of peaceful protesting was wrong. We are no longer at civil war, he said, for the dignity of man and the destiny of democracy that all Americans from different parts, faith, color, and from every section of the country join him in the cause to help man's unending search for freedom. He spoke of the denial of equal rights for millions of oppressed Americans. For their cries of pain, their hymns and protests could not be ignored any longer by the government. which mission has been the oldest and most basic, to right wrong, to do justice and to serve man. But this issue of civil rights by all lay bare the secret of a heart of America. The rights of the American Negro were still an issue. To deny a man his hopes because of his color or race, his religion, or his place of his birth is not only to do an injustice, it is to deny America and to dishonor the dead who gave their lives for freedom. What happened in Selma is part of a far larger movement which reaches into every section in the state of America. It is the effort of the American Negro to secure for themselves the blessings of American life. Their cause must be our cause too, because if it's not just Negroes, but really it is all of us, who must overcome crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice. And we shall overcome. But a century has passed, more than 100 years since the Negro was free, and he is not fully free tonight, and the promise is unkept. The real hero of this struggle for justice is the American Negro. His actions and his protests, his courage to risk safety, and even to risk his life, have awakened the conscience of this nation. So we want to open the gates to opportunity, but we also are going to give our people, black and white, the need to walk through those gates. This is more so known as the American Promise by Lyndon Johnson. Sadly, though, we continue to speak out and protest for equal justice and equal rights. And I thank you, Mr. Lee.
Dear listening audience, you have heard a message to the community from Alex Joyner. The views that were expressed were the views solely of Mr. Joyner and not necessarily the views of MPH Radio. We'd like to thank Mr. Joyner for his message to the community. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to pause with a quick break on message with the music, and when we come back, we're going to open up our phone lines up, and we want you to speak to our theme this year, a new year, and what a beginning. We want to know from you, what kind of beginning have you had for this new year, and speak about the things that has taken place so far, and how they may impact you, your community, and the world. We will have this discussion when we come back. You are listening to Missing Pages of History, MPH Radio.
What? Two, one, two, three, four.
We'll be right back.
At least doing what we can to tell people to be very careful
We're not trying to tell anybody what to do or how to do it, but please be informed. Please ask questions. Check to see what has been the effects for some in your particular area. It's very important that you be as informed as you possibly can. And if your so-called, or not your, but the so-called elected or selected officials, if they're not providing that information willingly, they should be doing it automatically, but certainly upon request, then that should be challenged and certainly exposed. So, again, please make certain if you are considering taking the vaccine or if you know of someone that is, at least get as much information as you can about any type of reaction, responses, or physical reactions or mental reactions to taking that vaccine in your area. It's important that you specify or you focus on your particular area because, again, there's different batches of this vaccine. The other thing I wanted to share, Brother Africa, for today is I want our family to know that the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign is in full effect, and we invite everyone to support, to join, to participate in whatever way. February 21st, we kick off our first international virtual solidarity speak out, stand up and speak out, and it's also a virtual concert, and it'll be for 24 hours. So it'll be performing and visual art, as well as folks sending their messages of solidarity in support of our We Charge Genocide 21. For those that do not know, we are now in the process of obtaining our first 1 million signatures that we will take to the United Nations at the end of the year, hopefully. We hope there won't be any more, you can't meet or whatever by the end of the year, but that's the projection. We'll do a mass assembly at the United Nations, and at that point we will take our first 1 million signatures to the United Nations to charge the United States government with genocide. Again, February 21st is our virtual fundraising concert, Solidarity Stand Up and Speak Out. It's a global presentation. We have 3 countries that are involved so far, including the U.S., and again, it'll be messages of support. Also, other kinds of presentations. Sister Pam Africa, of course. Baba Bilal Sunni Ali will be performing. Baba Abi Odun from The Last Poet. And any artist that you know that might want to showcase their poetry, spoken word, or anything that deals with art, it can even be visual art. Tell them to get in touch with us. They can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we'll sign them right up. And also want to remind you that for February the 21st, it's also a tribute to none other than Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, and Nina Simone. Malcolm X, of course, became an ancestor on that day, and Nina Simone was born on that day. So it should be a powerful, powerful presentation and show of solidarity and support of making certain that the world knows that we are now going to do everything possible to expose this government and all that they've done over these past 400 plus years as it pertains to crime against humanity against our people in this land. So that's it, Brother Africa.
And sister, can I give you a brief, if you can, no more than a couple minutes. Can you speak to, as we talk about what is beginning, there's an ongoing issue that's going on with African people, not only inside the United States, but around the world, but we know also inside the United States, of the missing of African women, and very little attention being paid to it. And we know that your organization has spent a lot of time trying to raise the awareness. Can you briefly give us an update on that phenomenon, if you can?
Absolutely, and thank you for raising that question or asking that question. Actually, come March, we will be launching a major, major campaign, both nationally and internationally. Here in the U.S., one of the biggest concerns, of course, is the harvesting or the taking of organs. Just in Chicago alone, we have found that there were 70 plus primarily black women who were found in vacant houses and so forth, just in Chicago alone. And this has been in the past couple of years, but these bodies have been dismembered and other things. And they're saying that, you know, many of the women were on drugs or, you know, doing some kind of other illicit stuff. And we're finding this is happening all over the country. So, again, what we began to put in place is task forces so that we can begin to get the reports by city, by state. Starting in March, we're demanding that city council and other government levels make sure they give us the reports, the stats, so that we can examine that carefully. And then our plans of action is we're implementing online self-defense classes for our women and girls. That starts in February because we began bringing forth what we call the Makaba University, and it will provide self-defense courses and other kinds of information for our women and girls to better safeguard their health, but also physical being in every kind of environment that we possibly can. So you'll be hearing more about that, particularly in March. And lastly, on that note, to combat this issue or to address this issue more adequately, what we're working on is a national hotline so that no matter what city, whatever state you're in, there'll be a national hotline where people can report missing black women and girls all over the country. And then again, we will provide training as well as advocacy and other kind of support system. Now, that's a work in progress. So, again, we're putting that out there because we're going to need our people to support that effort. We are independent, so we don't strive to get grants and all of that. So it's going to be very important that our people step up and support something that's going to help us to better deal with this issue of the abducted, the sex trafficking, the other kinds of violence and abuse that's being inflicted upon our women, girls, and elders, because they are that entity of our people right there are the most vulnerable. So it's not that we're trying to negate this not happening to our brothers, but we have to be realistic and know that this is the most vulnerable in our community, and therefore a little more attention has to be applied in that manner.
Okay, sister, we have our brother Mikasa, who is a civil rights icon, and our sister Celine from Cameroon, and others been waiting patiently, but I would like for you to state the phone number where they can tune in tonight to hear your radio program and the hours that
Absolutely. We're on every Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 10:30 to 12:30 a.m. You go to www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi. Again, www.blogtalkradio/EmpressChi, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And by the way, with Sister Celine, we're going to be talking next week because MWM, starting in March, we will be implementing our International African Women's Marketplace, starting in March. And with that, people will be able to go online and purchase items that African women are making from all over the diaspora. We've been working on that, and we're now ready to go with it. So it's starting in March. We'll be able to get jewelry, clothing, weavings, potteries, all kinds of wonderful arts and crafts and services by African women worldwide.
All right, my sister, we'd like to thank you, and let's stay in touch and try to make this year a good year for African people, all humanity.
No doubt. We're going to make it that way, because if we don't, who will?
There you go. So we thank you for your contribution to today's program. And we now go to our brother. Let's go to our sister from Africa, Sister Celine. Then we'll come with our brother Mikasa, who will follow. We can go to Africa from Cameroon. Our sister Celine, want to talk a little bit about, first wish her a happy New Year's. And she can tell us a little bit about what the beginning of the new year looked like for the brothers and sisters in Cameroon. What's going on with our brothers and sisters in Cameroon? So, Celine, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my brother, and to everyone who is online hearing my voice this evening. I'm so grateful to join you people online and to say Happy New Year. or the new year have started in Cameroon, though it didn't start well, because this year we have the highest climate change problem. That means heat. Places are very, very, very hot. It's not easy to move in the afternoon because of heat. The sun is terribly hot in Cameroon. It has never been like that. But we believe it is well. I want to thank God that this year has made us, we are alive. We have so many activities we are carrying out in Cameroon. I just came back this morning because we went to install the executive of our regional assembly. At last, the government has given us decentralization. The process started since December, and yesterday was the last stage, which we went to install the elected executive. Now the government wants that every region can begin to carry out their own development project by themselves, so that if you are lazy, your region will remain undeveloped. But when you are serious, you develop your own region to your test. So that's what decentralization is all about. And I want to thank God that I am one of the members of the regional assembly. And I pray that with your help over there, we'll do much for the women of Africa. As Sister Empress have just been saying, the women have been waiting for her and asking me questions every day, and I didn't have the answer to give them. I kept waiting, believing that the hour will come, the time will come, when her promises will be fulfilled. Because I always believe in people, because I believe that they are like me, because when I say something, I must fulfill it. That is my character. When I accept that I'm going to do something, you know that I must do it. Come rain, come sun. I want to say that it's not easy in Cameroon. As this COVID-19 came and disturbed places, as the crisis are disturbing families, I think last time I saw on the television that some people delivered their children and then decided to sell the children in order to make money, not even much money, because they are in need, and the government caught them. They hid their faces, but we saw them on television. Just to tell you that it's not easy in our country. Things are very difficult. It's only God who is suspending us. Children are there calling me every day. We are in school. We don't have money to pay school fees. I don't know how to go up or to go down. But I just keep trusting God that one day God will make a way that I will be able to help them the way I'm supposed to. Because that's my burden. That's my heartbeat. My heartbeat is to take care of the needy, to take care of the poor widows and the needy children. Not only orphans, but children that their parents cannot also afford to give them quality education. That's my desire. That's my vision. And I believe that God will help me in that vision, that I'll be able to carry it out the way I think and the way I'm planning. I just want to thank you people so much for the work you are doing for Africa and what you are planning to do for Africa. We must develop Africa. It's our continent. We have to develop Africa. It's our own continent. So we have to do it. Nobody will do it for us, but only us that can do it.
And Celine, on that note, we would like to congratulate you on your recent election. You stated earlier that was a recent election. As a woman, you reign and you won. The people voted and showed their confidence in you. And for those who may not know you, we know that you also have a woman organization that does a lot for orphan children. And what I would just like for you to do briefly, if you can you just state how they can get in contact with you for people who may want to support your work and find out more about your work? How can they get in contact with you?
We have two email addresses. We have nayaselin@yahoo.co.uk. Then we have abute11@gmail.com. Those are our email addresses, and our phone number is 677-332145. Let me repeat the email addresses again. Naya, NAYAH, Celine, CELINE, at yahoo.co.uk. And then Abute, Nina is abuteh11@gmail.com.
Now, go ahead, finish.
Those
give your email.
Email addresses. Pardon?
Give you the last email. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Your last email. Repeat that again so make sure our audience got
it. Okay. Abute, Nina. abuteh11@gmail.com.
And on that note, Celine, we'd like to thank you for sharing with us as relates to this new year and what's a beginning. We will stay in touch and give our love to our brother and sister in Cameroon. We are one people with one history, one destiny. We thank you for your participation on today's program. We thank you.
We are waiting for you in Cameroon. We are waiting for you.
And we're coming. So be a little patient. We'll be there. We thank you, my sister. All right. Listen, audience, this is MPH Radio. What we're going to do right now, as we discuss a new year and what a beginning, we're going to go to a historical icon, Brother McCoslin, known as Brother McCoslin. Some people may know him as Woody Ricks. And this brother has a history of struggling for our people. We invite him to come on our program today because we'd like to get his perspective on this new year, what a beginning, particularly around this issue of the recent election and the White House and coronavirus and all these things that are impacting our people. So if you can let Brother McCoslin fill in his Mr. Page's history of what a beginning, Brother McCoslin. Welcome to MPH Radio.
How you doing, brother? How you doing? Thank you very much.
So, Brother McCoffer, how you describe the beginning year of this new year, and how would you share with our people things we need to look at more critical as it relates to the recent election, as we talk about the so-called insurrection at the Capitol, and more importantly, how we are dealing with or how they are presenting the issue of this coronavirus? We'd like to hear your perspective.
No problem. We'll do one at a time. We can start with the Capitol. That's the colonialists fighting among themselves for who will control the land that they have stolen and robbed from the native people here, and who will continue the exploitation of the people. And that there's no such thing as a humanitarian capitalism or colonialism. So when we look at the people coming up in that Capitol, that's a fight among themselves. Because we remember when they went to the Capitol of Libya, they dropped masses, bombs on the people and killed tens of thousands of people, overturned the government, killed the leadership and their families, ran thousands and thousands of families away from their home, running from bombs and fire that the United States put on Libya, and that we have to say that that was the work of Obama, Biden, and Hillary Clinton, and the imperialists in this country. And then we look at Yemen. They have continued, even since the Obama days and Biden days, they have continued to drop massive bombs on Libya and blow up every building in the country. You see the bombing and how they have destroyed Iraq, and the other countries next to it, around it, Syria. They have destroyed those countries in Lebanon. And so they continue to bomb and kill and murder people throughout the world. So imperialism and colonialism continues. And then when we look in other places in the world, not just Yemen or the Congo, where they have killed millions, tens of millions of people in the last 4 to 5 years, we also have to look at what they're doing in Cuba. In some places, they don't drop bombs. They just starve the people to death, put embargo or blockade around the country where food and other necessities and medicines that you want to fight virus or whatever you want to do with the medicine can't get to the country. And they're doing the same thing in Venezuela and Nicaragua, Zimbabwe, and other places. They're fighting a major war in Chad, Mali, and other places in the world. And they assassinate our leaders. Like they said they were going there to do something to Pelosi or Trump or whoever they're going to do it to. Well, they killed our leaders. They have killed over 30, 40 different African presidents or leaders in Africa. And this is the work of the United States government and the imperialist powers, whether you have Biden, Trump, Obama, Clinton. And matter of fact, when they had the earthquake in Haiti, Obama gave Haiti, the United States sent military there and took it over. And then Obama gave Haiti to Hillary Clinton and Bush. And Hillary Clinton went down there and stole that earthquake money. She stole over $2 billion from them. They bought in armies, and the armies killing and raping the Haitian people and the Haitian women right as we talk. So we are engaged in war in the new year. We engage in exploitation and basically haven't anything changed, but colonialism continues. But hopefully we see the need to form mass organization, do mass education to our people where they can begin to see, because they have tried to trick our people with this Democrat and all this and put a good face on it, but there's no good face. So basically, haven't anything changed, and, well, you know, everything changed every day, but we continue to exploit it, and until we fight and build us a government like China has done for China, or like North Korea have done for Korea, or even like Nicaragua and Cuba are doing today, then we'll forever be slaves. And so we're still slaves in the United States. Our young men and women are still in the prison, jails, and they see a drug in our community, and we still the lowest paid, first and high, last high, and the person in the first five. So we're in a revolution, and it's like the young lady said from Cameroon, if we're going to liberate, we have to do it ourselves. If we're going to liberate and be free, we have to unite Africa. We have to take control of the resources like Gaddafi was trying to do, build our own economic, build our own money, and govern our own people, and not look for foreigners to come and rob and rape and do for us. Nobody going to do for us but us. That's basically what I want to say.
And Brother McCoffrey, we'd like to thank you for giving your perspective on a new year and what it began. We thank you, my brother. We
Revolution.
Thank you.
Revolution
All right.
in the new year.
All right, listen, audience, that was Brother McCoff, Brother Woody Ricks, better known as Brother McCoffrey. He's a civil rights icon. He played a major role in to help popularize the concept of black power and been organizing on behalf of our people for most of his life. So we'd like to thank him for his perspective. We right now will continue this discussion, dialogue around the world. We're going to Washington, D.C., where everything is happening. We're going to bring in our brother Moses, and we'd like to get his perspective of a new year and what it beginning. What's going on in Washington, D.C., Brother Moses? Seems like a whole lot of stuff is happening up there. What's life like in Washington, D.C., Brother Moses?
Well, it's a beautiful day. Can you hear me? It's a beautiful day
yes,
here.
Yes,
certainly, we are in the struggle for the long run, and as the brother said, you know, we have to recognize these imperialists for who they really are and not get caught up in the moment and the temporary motion of progress in terms of the democratic processes in the USA. We've been faced with this fascist Trump, and finally, it looks like he's being discredited and abandoned, and fascism and apartheid had no place in any kind of serious socialist or communist party, and Trump is the epitome of fascism, and certainly it's a great day that we were able to get him out of office. I'm looking forward to a year of struggle, and the contradictions have been heightened with this anarchist display at the Capitol. I think, you know, I said black freedom-loving people in the USA will continue this fight beside our Anglo freedom-loving brothers and sisters, and this system of exploitation is discredited and abandoned. Is apartheid is a system which attempts to divide us, leave our children without a legitimate father, and perpetuate anarchy within our family, our nation, and unleash anarchy within the government. And certainly that apartheid with the Confederate flags and the whole nine yards, they were the vanguard of the apartheid movement, and they were there representing themselves. And certainly we have nothing in common with them, and they have to be hopefully re-educated somehow. But if push comes to shove, you know, antagonist contradiction must be dealt with accordingly, because they're irreconcilable. And anyway, I'm just going to leave it right there. Thank you.
All right. You'd like to thank you, Brother Moses, for giving your perspective to our theme today and New Year and what a beginning out of Washington, D.C. And before we go to our station, we're messing with the music. We're going to take our caller who's been waiting patiently. This caller, you can call out the last four numbers and you can give your perspective. So on our thing, a new year, what a beginning, any thoughts you may have, we will bring you in right now, caller. Your caller, your last four numbers are 0796. Any comments or questions you'd like to share with our listening audience, caller 0796. The mic is yours. Okay, I guess my caller 0796 have no comments right now. What we're going to do right now on Missing Page of History, we're going to take a break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to have a little discussion with Brother Alex and our contributor member Susie on this particular theme. We're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on, what their new year look like. And we, again, will be open to any dialogue that you may have by calling in at 818-337-0016. Let's go to a station break, music with a message, and we'll be right back. You'll be listening to MPH Radio.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society.
Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation would make a better society.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
That's right. Welcome back to MPH Radio. If you had a choice of colors, which ones would you choose? Talking today on this question of bringing in the new year and what a beginning it has been. Right now, we'll go to our co-host and our contributing member, Susie. We'd like to get their perspectives on this theme. But more importantly, you know, we'd like to hear from them in terms of what is their thoughts on recent events such as the so-called insurrection in the Capitol, the new election in the U.S., and maybe around the world, as well as how things are being played out in terms of this coronavirus. Brother Alex, I know you may have some thoughts on these things in the beginning of your New Year's. What is your thoughts on some of these things and how your New Year's at this point in time is taking hold?
Okay, Mr. Lee, I've enjoyed the program today, because it brought up some issues and people gave their comments. And that's the most important thing that we have to deal with today, is we need to know what is on each other's mind, because that's what freedom is all about, is what's on your mind. Because when you go into a country and take it over by force, remove its president, enslave its people, we have to know what's on the minds of the people that we work with, we go to school with, we buy our groceries from. Every dollar that we spend financially, we have to know what's on people's minds and what their intentions are. Because we've known for over 400 years that the intentions against the people of color have not been good. What we saw at the Capitol, whether you are American or not, regardless where you lived in the world, people were shocked, astonished, couldn't believe it. We're suffering through a pandemic. Can't even get enough vaccinations out to people. Healthcare is in disarray. Education is in disarray. We're losing students every day out of school, turning off by virtual learning. Every facet of what we call the great America is being torn apart. We can say that this will perhaps be the worst year ever, as we thought 2020 was pretty bad. But if there's no cooperation, if there's no hope, if there's no getting together on any ideas to move forward, America is in trouble, and every soul that lives there. I am a dreamer, always have been. I'm a person that has high hopes. but I also know the lows of this country. So I choose to work with anyone that wants to work with me. I choose to work with people who don't want to work with me. Because you have that right to disagree, but not by armed force. A million black men came to Washington, D.C. Million black women march came to D.C. Black Lives Matter march came to D.C. And not once was the Capitol stormed. The Poor People's March, Dr. King, came to D.C. 250, 300,000, millions of black people have came to D.C. And not once did they set their sights on terrorizing the senators, shouting to hang the vice president. Decency, respect, honor was thrown out the window. We saw savages. We saw beasts. We saw the worst of America. And among them, firefighters, police officers, doctors, lawyers, politicians, all spouting foul anger and lies. It's not the America that I ever thought that I'd ever grow up in. I knew hate from a child. I knew what the N-word was. But never did I thought that I would see people lose their mind in hatred so strong because of lies told by others. Being able to accept defeat when you lose has always been a staple of anything, whether it's sports, whether it's politics. We all lose, and we have to walk away and congratulate the champion. If it's by one vote, then he won. If it's by one point, then the other team won. Questionable games have happened. Questionable candidacies have happened. But they say that this one was one of the most secure elections ever. So what was there to question about? But we saw the true hate in America. Americans came forth with the worst, the vile that had been pent up for centuries. White privilege, white supremacy, all showed its face up. Conspiracies. Everyone that believed a lie was there. And they came in numbers. And they came to take down a house that promises freedom. America took a long way to get where she's at. She's not perfect, not by a long shot. Probably one of the most imperfect nations out there. But yet, she tried. You got senators, you got congressmen, they try. You got presidents, they try. It's not a lot they can get done unless they're all on the same page. So we question their intentions, just like I do today. I question their intentions. If the votes are there, then everything's fine. But the things they vote for have to make sense. It has to be where it convinces the rest of us that that's right, is the honorable thing to do. To take a man and say that he has no rights is wrong. To remove a woman's right to vote was wrong. America made a lot of wrongs. Take the land from the Indian was wrong. Many, many, many wrongs. But it takes a process to turn things around. And it's going to take many years to do so. It won't be an armed insurrection that destroys this country. It will be the way the people feel about the country. Because when you no longer respect, it's just like your mother and father. If you no longer respect your parents, then you have no home. There's nothing to go back to. America's facing that today. What do we go back to? We've torn up the house. What do we have to go back to? So, you know, I want the Congress to work together. I want the president to work together. I give him my best wishes. I pray for him. I pray for everybody that's up there. And thank God for their safety. And for all those who are involved, yes, I want them to pay the price. And I want to speed up things where we can find out and get help to people that need it. Too many people are passing from this virus. Too many people are out of work. Too many people are hungry right now. These long lines, still waiting on food. We need to take care of the people. If we're the richest country, if we're supposed to have the smartest food, we need to get together, put our brains together, put our money together, and put our actions where needed. Because right now, it's just a big mess. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Alex, for your contribution to the theme today. We now will go to Susie and not get her thoughts. Susie, welcome again back. Your thoughts on this new year and what are beginning?
Okay. First, what I like to say, a new year, what a beginning. One thing I have to give the Biden administration credit for is the fact that they did three important things at this date and time. They increased the federal food assistance. They're checking into the delivery of the stimulus checks, and evictions being put on halt. You never know what the administration is going to do, but at least it appears that they are trying and making an effort to realize that people do need help out here at this day and time. And that's a beginning when you look at 4 years ago and what really took place with the previous administration. So I have to give Biden kudos for that. And also, as far as the COVID-19 vaccine, it's about 3% that basically hasn't taken the shots, the vaccines, based on white America. And I think what's happening now is that people are beginning to do their research and to make a wise decision on whether or not they want to be involved in taking the vaccine. And basically that's it, you know, but it is a new beginning. You know, this is a different year. And we'll just have to wait and see. But I think the administration, Biden administration, has done some positive things for all people this day, as of today.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, Alex, our invited guests, and our listening audience for tuning in today to this program, A New Year, and What a Beginning. We'd like to remind our listening audience that MPH Radio is a biweekly program. Our next program will be February the 6th at 1 p.m. So please put that day on your calendar and share it with your network. We'd like to remind all individuals, supporters, who may have questions about MPH Radio or would like to make comments, you can now contact us directly through our email, mphradio@yahoo.com. That's mphradio@yahoo.com. We'd like to hear your views, your perspectives, and your opinions, as well as we need your support. And we'd like to help join and help you, Miss Page of History. We are now open for membership. We'd like to have you collectively together. We can do more, go more, and achieve more. So we need your help, need your support, and you can send that to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. Until next time, we'll leave you with music with a message, and we'd like to remind you that we must continue to fill in our missing pages of history. Because history is best to reward not only those who research, but it gives you a path to the future on how to solve all your problems. Until next time, we'd like to remind you that we are living on the front line. We'll see you February 6th.
Baghdad, trying to get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad. So real, but it's so sad. And while we burning this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Together so that we could love each other, brother, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here. No guns made in Harlem, but yet crime is a problem. Wanna shine and wanna rob them. Single mother, where they come from? How we gonna save the nation? With no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah. Our souls were brought together so that we could love each other, sister, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here.
While we are here.